Well, we got to be all dressed up, and we do have a place to go, and we got to be ready, because we don't ever know when the Lord's coming back. But we have that blessed hope. It's just like Linda and I were talking earlier. By faith, when we lay our head on that pillow and go to sleep, it's by faith that we're going to wake up and have another wonderful day. But what if he comes like a thief in the night? You know, we got to be ready. Make sure that special place in your life is filled with the love of God. You know, fashion in our day and time is a $1 trillion industry. It makes up 2% of the world's GDP. But I wonder, why does apparel or wearing clothes or jewelry have such a big part in our life? For this, I think we can look to art, literature, and even the scripture and the church. Unlike other animals, we as humans have roamed the earth and we have been concerned with clothing ourselves. Think about that for a moment back in Genesis 1. We began this journey finding a way to conceal our original nakedness. When sin entered into the world and Adam and Eve realized they were naked, they didn't know they were naked until sin entered in. What they do, they went and they found something to clothe themselves. Now, this is the very essence of communication. In fact, it relies on symbols of expression because language employs verbal symbols like music, art, dance, and clothing also conveys symbol that is visible and even emotional at times. Every one of these wordless forms of expression still transmits connection and the hope that it would carry our unique identity. Well, clothing, perhaps more than anything, in the form of wearable art. With our choice of clothing comes a plethora of symbolic statements that we unconsciously or consciously make to those around us and to the world about who we are and what we want people to think about us or even to know us. Throughout history, artists and writers have employed clothing symbolism to help us understand something deeper and more vast about the character portrayed. Now, I think all of the women of the world are glad they don't live in the 18th century. In the 18th century, a woman in a corset. Aren't you glad you don't wear a corset? Nouns of decorative clothing, those big skirts and all that kind of stuff. She must have been confined, but it also sent a message that she was untouchable. Probably wasn't as many rapes and stuff when the women had corsets and all that stuff and too much trouble to get to her, so I just leave her alone. But it sent a message. Or even the plain farmer's daughter wearing gingham or even burlap dresses. There were burlap dresses back then. Or even having dressed up and then having ruby red glass slippers. It conveys a sense of hope for transformation or maybe radically different for the future when we would dress up and present ourselves. So what does our choice of clothing say about us in 2022? I think we can help ourselves to feel more attractive and more hopeful by the way we dress and what we do, and more alive by the choice of clothing that we wear. And then an example is this. You want to look alert, you want to look sharp, and you got to have a well-pressed suit if you're a man, and you got to have that crease. And you say, ooh, man, he must be a good executive. Look at the crease in his pants. Well-dressed people, dress for success, if you would, because that form of dress conveys to the prospective employer that he or she is going to take the job seriously. On the other hand, you got a construction worker. You see somebody with a uniform on, maybe in a hard hat. You know it's a construction worker because they need to wear the kind of clothes that they need in order to do their job. But throughout the scriptures in Christian art, clothing has been portrayed of a characteristic of holiness. The color blue, the color red, the color purple, the seamless shift or the seamless dress like Jesus wore, or simple sandals or priestly garb, the sheath of white, the armor of battle, and many, many more. So to dress for success, it says something about us. To get all dressed up for dinner means more than just the change of clothing. You hear that a lot. Well, okay, go and dress for dinner. It also means that we have a shift of mind and attitude when we dress for dinner, or we come in from working out and we take a bath and we get ready for dinner that way. It's a different attitude. It prepares us. So we are what we wear. And Jesus tells us in the scriptures today, be dressed for service. Now, he's just not advising us to put on our aprons. He means for us to have a change of attitude, to change our demeanor, to put on the aura of holiness. The Apostle Paul used this metaphor often in his letters. In Colossians 3:12, therefore, as God's chosen and holy and dearly beloved people, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. And then also over in Galatians 3:27, he said, for all of you who were baptized into Christ, you have clothed yourself with Christ. Isaiah also used the metaphor in a different part of Isaiah in chapter 61. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and has arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. And my favorite book, the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 8, it says, fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. Who's her? The bride of Christ, you and I. So we are here to worship. Travis was going to sing that song this morning. We are here to worship, because worshiping the Lord, like it says in Romans 12:2, is the beauty of holiness. So you being in worship this morning, you are the beauty of holiness in the presence of Almighty God. Jesus said to be dressed and ready, for his appearance means to be dressed for service. We talked last week or a couple of weeks ago about that word, service, in the I think about, we look at the Greek, look at the Hebrew, look at the Aramaic, and see what the original scripture said. We do the same thing in the English language. When we run across a word, we don't know what it means for sure. We grab the old Webster's dictionary, and it lays out all the different meanings for that word. Same thing when it comes to scripture. Think about it. Perhaps you can even picture in your mind the image of Christ donning his big white apron, wrapping around his waist, kneeling down to wash the disciples' feet. Did you ever participate in a foot washing service? It's powerful. It really and truly is. Perhaps you can picture that. Someone serving in a white chef apron to the homeless. Or the corner cafe. It's an identity when somebody's wearing that white apron in a restaurant. You know pretty much it's the chef or a server. The job of a server, a waitress, is like ministry. That word service translates in the Greek as ministry. We all have a ministry. It doesn't matter what we do. We have a gift. We're working in a restaurant or in a hospital. It's a ministry. So it realizes that being in service or being a chef or being a waitress is not an easy job. It requires close attention to what's going on around you. We need to be aware of our surroundings. And it sometimes requires a quick response, an eager spirit to the dedication at hand. It requires focus and commitment. It requires a desire to put someone a plate of food that has been especially prepared for that person. You go to the restaurant, the waitress takes the order, take it out there, and that plate of food has been prepared for you. Knowing all this makes up not just tipping, when somebody gives you good service, but it's a pleasure when he or she has been outstandingly helpful, kind, efficient, quick, attentive, and focused, and delivering a nourishing plate of food in a pleasant atmosphere. So think about what Jesus is asking us to do. And he asked the disciples, we're modern day disciples, just close your eyes for a moment and think about that and imagine that you are putting on a servant's apron. Perhaps it's a nurse's uniform, or even in the Roman Catholic tradition, women that are called to minister in a Roman Catholic church put on a habit, or even a prayer shawl, or your church clothes, which we are here this morning wearing our church clothes. How does that, I love it, in my clinical pastoral education that I did at Baptist Hospital, my supervisor would always say, when we come back and we have to give a report on what we were doing in the hospital and all that stuff, and he would always say, how does that make you feel? How does that make you feel being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? Has your demeanor changed? And imaging this form of dress? We do that in our modern day, in our hospital. All the different scrubs that they wear, the different color signifies what that person is. If it's a housekeeper, they have a different color. If it's a nurse's aide, they have a different color. Registered nurses. I always liked it when the registered nurses always wore white and they had that little hat, but don't do that anymore. They wear, but you recognize what their job is and what their service is among us. Jesus encourages us not just 1 hour a week or on certain high holy days that we call holy days, Christmas, Easter, and all that, but when we're engaged with the scripture at a prayer meeting, to remember to clothe ourselves in an attitude of service so that no matter where we are or who we are with, we are attentive to the discipleship identity. We all have different gifts and graces. So being a follower of Christ is our identity as an apostle to the world and a servant of God's people. Now, how will this change? How will you carry out your life this week? How do you think about this change in the way that you live your life? I know when I finally surrendered and invited Christ into my life, you don't get in pieces. You get God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There was things that started to change in my life that I wasn't even aware of. Things that I used to do, I didn't do anymore. Some of the words I used to use, I didn't use anymore. Little by little, you grow in grace. Because everybody's different. And each one of us are unique in our personality and our expressions. Just as some may be artists like Diane, some may be free photographers like Phil, or even sculptors, or even architects, we are disciples of Christ with different, various gifts. So when we put on our servant's garb, whatever it may be, that we need to remember what we are wearing as a disciple of Christ and our identity as a servant of Jesus Christ can help us but shine through. We are wearing the love of God in our heart. Our eyes light up. You can always tell somebody sometimes that are experiencing the love of God. Their eyes just light up. So this week, I challenge you, as we all are learning and growing in grace, to be more aware of who you are in Christ. Be alert to the world around you and those in need, those that you love and you care for. Pay attention to the head chef of the world and be quick to respond to the hurting faces, the yearning hearts of those who are in need, to be nourished and fed with the body and the blood of Jesus Christ.